God is me, amen. Well, I think I'll go to Malachi tonight. I feel a little out of sorts. Not that feelings matter, but one thing about preaching expository seems like more often than not, right where your audience is at is where you're at. But every now and then, seems like where you're at, your audience is nowhere near it. So you're going to have to bear with me tonight. I got to preach the word. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody that's an undercover agent here. Maybe your heart's not in it and you're just going along. But he's got some pretty rough words for these priests. Now, if you're visiting here tonight, you're going to say, man, this guy's mad at these people. No, I'm just preaching the Bible and let the chips fall where they may. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I just pray you'd meet my need. The sermon is probably for me tonight, Lord. I no question about that. I was thanking you for it today. And I just pray that you'd help our people. Lord, pray nobody needs this tonight. But Lord, should there be one or two or five or ten, may it make us better. May it fix us. May it restore us. May it revive us. And we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for the great singing tonight. Thank you we could come out of this world. Thank you for the sunshine and breaking 40 degrees today, Lord. And I know you're the God of the snow, but you sure are the God of the sun, too. And we appreciate that. Pray for our folks that are sick. Pray for the Pinzones, especially tonight, Lord, coming off that funeral and all that's going on there, Lord. You can make a crooked path straight for sure. And pray for Alice and, Lord, all those that Brother Jay mentioned that are ill tonight. Lord, those that are traveling, the flu going around, big wedding coming up, Lord. And pray for safe traveling mercies ahead of time for that. Pray for our missions conference again. God, you prepare my heart, the leadership here, and then our missionaries. Pray for our missionaries abroad tonight, Lord. Maybe, Lord, fast asleep most of them tonight. And pray for Larry tonight, Lord, as just had a little bout with the doctor there, and thank you for the good news in his situation. Pray, bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Larry was having a heart issue, went to the doctor, and he was at that Mardi Gras, you know, preaching down there. And doctor said, your heart's as healthy as a horse. You're just dehydrated. So he's taking in some fluids and doing a lot better. All right, we're in Malachi chapter 2, our 24th lesson. We got through we'll Lord willing, get through the chapter tonight. Don't worry, I won't lay in long, hopefully. But God is addressing here. He's speaking to these priests, these Levitical priests. He's going to address his original plan for them, looking back 700 years under Moses, and he's going to reiterate that. And then he's going to address and compare and contrast with their current condition, where they are 700 years later, these descendants of Levi, these priests that were responsible for the keeping of the tabernacle and temple. And then he's going to proclaim impending judgment. Impending judgment. We don't hear a lot about that in the churches today, because we don't hear a lot about the Bible in churches today. But we'll take the Bible, amen. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And take the philosophers and the poets and the newscasters, but give me Jesus, give me the Bible, amen? So in chapter 2 and verse 7, he's going to tell of the original plan. I'm going to call it his proposal. Chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." So he said, you guys, my original intention for you, your original design was to know the law of God. And not only to know the law of God, but to be a messenger of the Lord. You hear this a lot today. Our job is to know God and make him known. Know God and make him known. The Levite was the steward of the place of God. the tabernacle and then the temple. He was a steward of the plan of God and all those Old Testament sacrifices. And at that time, those sacrifices would please God, or at least appease God through those offerings. But lest we look back too far, we that are saved are called to be stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the message of God. Stewards of the resources of God. He gives gifts to the church. This is His church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And He's sort of just given us administration of it. He's given us, and we'll be hearing about this in missions conference, He's made us stewards of the message of God. We have been given the message to go into all the world and preach that Jesus saves. So we are stewards in the priesthood of believers that we're in, just like they were. I mean, Jesus Christ, the high priest, did it all. He paid the price. He paid it all. He said, all right, I want you to go deliver the message. I'm going to go and build you some mansions, and I'll be back soon to pick you up. How's that sound? Kind of wishing that was today, but maybe it'll be tomorrow. God's proposal, this is what I intended for you. Now hang on. Number two, the priest's pupilage. Pupilage. If you don't learn nothing out of this sermon, you maybe learn a couple words today. That's their infancy. That's the start of the priesthood. That's the early days of the priesthood. That's when it was all fresh and it was all new and it was all what. Now let's look at the verses there. Verse 5. He's looking back. God's looking back. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of the truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. Lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. What a start. He was doing pretty good. You always see a good start at the beginning of the next dispensation in the Bible. Remember Israel and Moses' pupilage when he came and told them, and they said, all that thou hast said we will do. Great start. How about Joshua? They answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Well, now we got the end of the story, and we kind of laugh when we hear that. The beginning of Jesus' ministry, people thronged him. The Bible says at the end of it, all men forsook him and fled. Great start. I'll say this to myself. I'll ask myself this question. Remember your start as a believer? Remember when the Bible was new and the statutes were new and the church was new, your water baptism was new, the things of God were new, the people of God were new, the church of God was new. Woo! You couldn't wait. You like Tony the Tiger. It's great. Jesus found and heaven bound. But now 700 years of the priesthood have passed. Maybe for you it's been 7 or 17 or 70. But since God's proposal and the priest's pupilage, the beginning of their ministry, things have changed. And it brings us to our next point. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Man's proclivity. That's two new words I learned today. That's your bent. That's your tendency. That's your nature. That's the natural way we go in this. Now let's remember they started out good. Now let's look at verse 8. Look at those four words. But ye are departed. Can I say they're still going through the motions? You don't have to walk out the door to depart. If the heart's out there, you're out there. If the heart's in a far country, you're in a far country. If the heart's got aught, you got aught. They're departed. But they're still there. In fact, they're praying and bawling and squalling and crying and weeping over there. We'll address that in a little bit. This isn't for you. This is for them back then. But just in case, ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Man's sin has collateral damage, doesn't it? Leadership, I believe that the leadership in Christendom, and I use that very, very loosely, has been a major element outside of evolutionary teaching and rampant divorce, where children don't have parents. I believe these leaders in Christendom, especially in the 70s, all the televangelists and all that, and all the priests and all the things that's going on, just made people look and say, you got to be kidding. That's what they're doing. Stumbling block. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. Therefore have also made you contemptible and base before all the people. We'll get that to that in a little bit. According to ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. You're biased. You're indifferent. Verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously. Boy, that's nice. And an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. And you know what? It didn't start out that way. Now they're mixing. Now they're a mess. They were on fire at one time. But when the offense came in the New Testament, when the cares of this world came in the New Testament, when the distractions came in the New Testament, when the entertainment came in the New Testament, when the deceitfulness of riches came in the New Testament, when sins and weights and suddenly you realize that the brethren weren't angels after all. In fact, you're thinking they're more like devils. You didn't need any help. This doesn't need any help to what? Depart out of the way. It's our bent. It's our natural way. Yet they're still going through the motions, but it's not from the heart. God, help us not to get there. I've said it before, going through the motions with it not being in your heart is worse than slavery. It's torture, it's toil, it's maddening. Get the heart in there. If there's ever a time we need to walk with God in the face of opposition, in the face of entertainment and persecutions and opposition and distractions and opportunities supposedly good that present themselves contrary to the plan of God for the life of the believer, it is today. Because our natural proclivity is to depart out of the way. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. The bent is to start strong and finish weak. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon race. And I understand that for many of us, the outward man is perishing. But even if you've been at it for years, you don't have to die. You don't have to faint. You don't have to quit. We have a helper. We have a treasure in earthen vessels that this world knows not of. I remind you that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have in you, and you're not your own. We got God inside us. Let them all go to hell. Let them all come against us. Let them all vote for socialism or communism. We got God tonight. Ooh, that sounds like a little dog barking. Yeah, yeah. I love that boy. We're not fighting for victory. We're not losing. We're fighting in victory. Fight proclivity in your own life. God's proposal, the priest's pupillage, the start, man's proclivity to go backward, and God's proclamation of impending judgment. Now, that's not popular, but that's the Bible. Verse 2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. We've heard about that for a couple weeks. And I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. I will corrupt your seed. And spread dung upon your faces. Oh, that's nice. Did they read that verse at your church? I will spread. That's God saying that. Do you know the God you serve? Are you his God or is he your God? Because if you're trying to make him some pansy, tutti-frutti, softy, you might as well bow down to a rock. Because that's not our rock. He said, I'm going to corrupt your seed. I don't like that. Now, let me give you a little balance here. God says, stop saying that the children's teeth are set on edge because the father ate sour grapes. Every man will be put to death for his own sin. Your kids choose this world and choose to eat at the devil's table, and you did what you can while you can. Don't get too hard on yourself. God said, I've nourished and raised up children. They've rebelled against me. However, there's enough in, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And don't miss the hate me. If you're doing right, you are not, there is no New Testament inference that if you are doing right and sold out, that you are at the mercy of your father's sin. You do right, you can do right. The demons aren't going to come and have some special, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But there's enough in there that he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh, not in his flesh, although you'll reap in your flesh, of his flesh reap corruption. If nothing else, we that are family-minded, keeps you back from sin. If the love of God doesn't keep you back from sin, if the love of God doesn't keep you from making a mess, do it for the love of our children. He said, I'll corrupt your seed. Sin makes collateral damage. It did for Adam. A thought struck me today when Cain killed Abel. How did Adam feel? Oh. Reaping corruption, Adam. Shouldn't have ate, Adam. I told you not to eat, Adam. I told you that in the day you eat, you shall surely die, and now you're at your son's funeral. Adam's sons, here we are. Collateral damage from sin. They've been dying for 6,000 years. You going to try it? You going to try to be the exception to the rule? You won't beat the odds. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. The Bible is true. What we do impacts our children. And what gets me down is the good stuff you do doesn't seem to wear off real good, but all that bad thing you do, man, they picked right up on that. You know why? Proclivity to sin in their lives as much as ours, because they're looking for an out. Messed up Lot's kids. His son-in-laws thought he was a joke, and his daughter's just way out. Bad for Achan's seed. The whole family died. 10 spies affected a whole nation for 40 years. And all they did was said, "We can't do it. We can't make it." I'm just saying, you young families, you better get all in. You better make your decisions now. Some of you, and I'm not picking on anybody, but you're just going to go with the flow and 50 hours of screen time a day and just what the world is doing, just give them all that. They don't need any help with proclivity. And if you're that far, what was that word again in your pupillage? In the beginning, what's it going to be when you're wore out like us? The seed is at stake. He says, "I'll put dung on your faces." In verse 4, this isn't for you. "And ye shall know," and ye shall know, "that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." Listen, kids, learn cheap. Watch the lives of those that have departed out of the way, of those that have, and I didn't say that left the church. I said that departed out of the way. And that begin to sow to their... Just watch. Just sit back and watch while you're suffering, sitting here, because you're only 15 or 16, wishing you could do it. And just watch. God said, if you sow, you'll reap. So you watch. And you see that they sow and they reap in their relationships, in their situation, in their walk with God. And they don't have to be... drunks living in the downtown abandoned subway system. Just a life wasted. Potential for God Almighty. Doing nothing that's going to last 2 seconds beyond the grave. Don't sow the same seed. Learn. Verse 9, this is when it gets scary. "Because of all that, you departed, you caused many to stumble," verse 8, "you've corrupted the covenant. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial." God says, "You want to move out? I'll pack your bags." When they went by that broken down temple that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, they hissed and they said, is this the place that had all that glory? Some of you kids need to look beyond your own lives at the souls of your relatives that your parents have tried to witness to. When they're fitting to get pitched into the lake of fire and they point to you. One of the first words my dad said to me when I got saved, "Yeah, cousin so-and-so, he goes to that church. His son left. I heard too much preaching." It's more than us.
Is it worth it for a grain of sand in this life of pleasure and self-will? Is Jesus that bad? Is church that bad? Is mom and dad that bad? Are you that? God will give you what you want. God, don't do that to me. I will give you the desire of your flesh. I pray every day, almost every day, God, don't give me the desire of my flesh. Because I don't want what comes with it, leanness to the soul. And you'll just be a dirty dish rag like everybody else in this world. You want contempt, you want corruption, God says, okay, gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. That's what fornication is. That's what adultery is. That's what abusers of themselves with mankind is. And we could go on and on. Verse 11, help us, Jesus. This is a good one. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. Oh, that just reminds me of our churches. I could get into that. Which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. Look at this. He didn't have to say this, but he did. The master and the scholar out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. No respecter of persons when it comes to God's proclamation of judgment. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But I'm the pastor. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But I've been homeschooled. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But we're better than the church up the street. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Commercial. You know, in this building we have we paid about $40,000, but this is about a $100,000 sprinkler system. Of course, we're getting all our money back from all these faithful tithers and missions givers that work at the company now. You all know how that worked out. And Brother Tom, he inspects the extinguishers here. Every so often we have pull alarms on the wall, and then we have brat alarms for the kids that just want to pull it. So that's the little case outside. If they open that, don't get any ideas. That'll ring before you pull the other thing, and the fire department. A lot of precautions to keep this church from burning down. And I'll make a prediction that if this church is ever burned down, it's not going to be a match and a flame and a gasoline that Tom's got stored out there. It's going to be somebody's tongue. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. You know what a tale is? A tale that's told. Not necessarily a lie. You know what discord is? Not necessarily a lie. It could be as true as the day is long. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. I'm just helping you out because of what they said. You know what the trouble with that stuff is? A lot of times when it comes around, it's long gone. Let's say I say to Sam here, boy, Jerry's getting kind of fat, don't you think, Sam? I mean, ever since he got that new job, you know, kind of, I don't know if Kate's sloughing on the groceries or what, and that's it. 2 years later, all of a sudden one thing leads to another. They get close. Meantime, 2 years have passed. And Sam says, you know, I was talking to Pastor. He said you're fat. And Kate, not real good with the groceries. What is Jerry thinking? You know what Sam's not going to tell him? When? 2 years ago? That's the trouble with tail bearing. By the time it gets back to the person, they think that somebody said it yesterday. And by the time it goes through four people, you are not noble to reveal. First of all, gossip is not noble. I think it's a sin. But neither is tale-bearing. You told a lie about me. Well, what if you told the truth about him? That's wrong too. If it's in the negative, you're going to burn this place down. The pastor doesn't get a pass. The scholar, the master, him that offereth, the second generation doesn't get a pass. You guys will succumb to the laws of the Bible the same way you succumb to the laws of gravity. Where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. I had to give you this one more. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, they go down the innermost parts of the belly. Look what he says in verse 13, and we'll finish up. And this have you done again. This have you done again. You did it again. Sooner or later, you got to get out of the starting blocks. Sooner or later, you got to get some victory and take a step forward. You can't keep spinning your wheel. Oh, if I could just get this victory, if I could just get this. And I realize there's two views on the sin unto death. One, the sin unto death, they say that God kills you for it. The other, sin unto death, seems like you can never get the victory over it. But you got to put shoes on to your commitment. God has not designed us to live in defeat. But if you want what's out there, He'll give you what's out there. He'll come to the point where He'll help you fill your cup. God's proposal, the priest's pupilage, man's proclivity, God's proclamation, and then look at His plea in verse 15. You don't seem like God always comes down hard, but then at the end, check it out, verse 15. And did not He make one? Yet had He the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Look what he says. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Just had a man from another church across the country text me this week. Preacher, what's the spirit of man? You know, what things knoweth man save the spirit of man which is in him? No man knoweth God save the spirit of God. It's a mystery. It's a mystery as much as the Trinity is a mystery, but I said, man, it's like it's your sense. You know not what spirit you are of. What spirit cometh from thee? You ever feel somebody looking at you? Only you're not looking at them? You ever sense that something, that's the spirit of man. I think that's the part of the unregenerate man that can respond to God if he wants to. Calvin missed that. But he says, take a self-examination. Now, this is what's interesting. He starts out with the priests, the priesthood. And can you imagine the opportunities that these priests have to sin? We saw that in the days of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. And we saw that in the days of Ezekiel and what was going on and the evil that was going on right in and around the temple. But look where he ends up. Verse 15. That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. He starts in the temple and he ends in the home. You know where these guys' problems manifested themselves? In their homes first. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. Now that says what it says. It says he hates putting away as divorce. He hates it. Unless you want to cling to that one, because most haven't done that. God hates it, and I agree he hates it. But there's six things over there in Proverbs, yea, seven, that he hates also. And all I'm saying is, give sowing discord among the brethren equal time. Give a proud look on the basketball court after you hit that three-pointer in when you're playing against the school of the blind, deaf, paraplegics with your little stockings on. Talk about I'm bad. You say, you do that awful good, preacher. Yeah. Preachers do it when they walk down from preaching. But he brings this in the home. For the Lord God of Israel hath putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit. Make a self-examination. That ye deal not treacherously. Man, that's a... With who? Your wife. You can't get along with your mother and you want a wife? Girls? Where'd all that beeping come from? You better see how he treats his mother. Ask her. Don't lie, Mom. Because that's going to be you. Girls, you better see how he treats his father. Or vice versa. Guys, you better see how she treats her father. You think she's going to treat you better than she treated her father for about 6 months? Then you will be the target of her wrath. Of her self-will, of her squalor, etc. You can't get along with Mom, you want a wife. You don't respect Dad, and you want a husband. You can't handle the home, and you want a ministry. It's a great place to start. The home is a little mission field. You want to learn cultural sensitivity and cultural adaptability? Get married. What is she? I can't live with her and I can't live without her. Not me, I'm talking about in general. This creature that he made, this woman. I'll spare you with a joke. You heard it. And I'm making a point. I don't like jokes from the pulpit. You know, God says, you've been so good, I'll give you anything you want. You know, I'd like to take a trip to Hawaii, I'll fly you. And he said, well, my wife's afraid to fly. He said, I'll build you a bridge then, or can you build me a bridge to Hawaii? And you know how much concrete and how much time that would take. You know, you just can't do it. And the guy said, and God said, but you know, what's your second request? Anything you want. He goes, Lord, can you help me to understand my wife? And God said, what size was that bridge again? I'm making a point. They're hard to understand. Ladies, is that thing hard to understand or what? Does he have an emotional bone in his body?
Is there any sentiment in his soul at all? What is with him? They've only got 20 dolls. And he wants to throw 10 of them in the garbage. Because he wants it nice and clean. But Grandma Betty gave her that doll. I'm trying to tell you, the home is the place to learn about the things of God. You're going to go to that mission field, ask some of these guys. Talking to a missionary the other day, they said, you know what? The family, they don't regard the family one bit. They just think it's an American thing. Oh, you just all stay together and you do. That's just, they got one going to Germany to work and the wife's going over to Hungary to work, and it's just crazy. Siblings, sibling rivalry, baloney. Sibling rivalry, you know what siblings are? What are they? Brothers and? Do you know what we are? So you're letting your four-year-olds gouge each other's eyes out. And guess what's happening when they're 24? And somebody goes against them. I'm telling you, this place is so interconnected now. I said it a while ago. People are going to have to ask, is this person my cousin, before they ask if they can marry them or not around here. There's going to be so... One firecracker can blow this place to smithereens. Verse 17, I'm done. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Look what they're doing up there in 13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and crying out. They're at the prayer meeting. Not doing too good at home, though. They say they were divorcing their wives and marrying the heathen. Insomuch he regardeth not the offering anymore and receiveth it with a good will at your hand. Now back to 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? What did I do? My mother used to, I would say, I didn't do nothing. She goes, yeah, that's the problem. It's not what you did, it's what you didn't do. Like the last 50 things you were asked to do, but they don't recognize it because they're so carnal and fleshly and gone out of the way. Wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Whoa, that sounds like the liberal church banner right there. And he delighteth in them. God loves everybody. He doesn't care. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to discipline you. He's not going to spread dung on your face. He's okay with everybody. That's the cry of a dying nation and a dying church. And when I say church, I mean the church body as a whole in this country. Oh, just come as you are. Stay as you are. Go as you are. And die as you are. God's plea. Take heed to your spirit. That a nice end. I'll give you another chance. If you're breathing, there's hope. Let's stand. What's interesting is where we'll be Sunday morning, Lord willing. After all that, you know what he says? Behold, I send my messenger. We're going to talk about the messenger as we get into fishing season. By the way, signs Saturday, 2 o'clock out on that street corner. Pastor, what number are we going to sing? 416. 416.